It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly outdoor talk show. You know, we've been doing this now for over 6 years, and I enjoy doing it as much right now as the very first show that I brought to you. I want to say happy deer season to everyone. Today is the opener of the rifle season across Texas, and I know a lot of you are preparing to go hunting. I've been actually bow hunting for the past month. I spent a couple of days in the woods, a couple of mornings and evenings in the woods this past week with my bow. I saw one good buck, that probably a 150 class buck, that second time I'd actually seen him with my eyes. I'd seen him on a trail camera. He come through the brush at about 40 yards and would have been a chip shot for a rifle, but he was just, you know, the shot didn't present itself for a good ethical bow shot, and I didn't take it. But I'm going to be out there, actually, later this morning. I'll be out there just before daylight and got plenty of time. That's one good thing about our show airing so early. We have time to talk a little outdoors, and then we have time to get out there and actually do it. So good luck to everyone. I'll tell you what I've noticed where I hunt, and is lots and lots of acorns this year, not on all the oak trees, but the red oaks and a lot of pin oaks are just loaded. Of course, pin oak acorn is not as big as some of them, you know, but the deer will gravitate to the oak trees right now this time of year. And the rut is in the early stages. I've seen some younger bucks chasing does. The old big ones, I don't think what we call, old deer hunters call, the hard part of the rut when they really get going. I think that's probably going to be a week or two away up in northeast Texas, maybe another week from now, but it's getting to be prime time. Chances are real good you're going to see bucks this weekend and the upcoming week that you probably haven't seen before. You know, a lot of bucks, they'll live on a tract of land, maybe live on 400 or 500 acres till the rut kicks in, and then they get on the prowl and they start traveling. And Larry Wysoon, who helps me with my regular, the hour-long outdoor show that we do each week, Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends, Larry tells me that, you know, they've studies that he's done and other biologists, you know, deer move 5 miles or more sometimes. The bucks do during the rut. So get out early before daylight, and don't, if you can, stay in that stand. It's awfully hard to stay in a stand all day. I can't do it. But stick in there till, you know, 11 o'clock anyway, and then a lot of times I'll usually try to 10:30, 11, I'll get out and come back into camp. I'm lucky to live within a mile and a half of where I'm hunting this weekend. I'll be hunting all over, but, you know, I've got some articles to do, and I'll be out in San Angelo, west of San Angelo, in that big ranch country in about 3 weeks, hunting with Larry Wysoon. He's filming a TV show out there with Stephen Ray that makes the Rattling Forks. That's another topic I'd like to bring up to you. If you've never done any antler rattling, by all means, put that in your bag of tricks. You don't have to do any specific sequence. I mean, there's no, I won't say there's no right way and wrong way to rattle, but if you'll start out with just a light rattling where, you know, tickle those antlers together just a little bit where they're making a light sound, like two bucks just beginning to spar, and then wait a minute or two and then whack them a little bit harder. And then if nothing shows, well, go ahead. Don't be afraid to go into a full-blown mock battle with your rattling antlers. Those Rattling Forks are designed by Stephen Ray, and they've been around for several years now. I've used them a bunch, and I've hunted with Stephen when he uses them. And let me tell you, the sound does carry. That's the real premise behind the Rattling Forks, is the fact that the sound carries a long, long way. I've seen Stephen, and I've done it myself too, rattle in bucks from hundreds of yards, you know, out in that, especially that big ranch country out in West Texas, there west of San Angelo. But that's where I've hunted with Stephen the past 2 years, and really looking forward to getting back out there with Wysoon. That's going to be I think the first week in December, we get out there, and it's a real nice camp house on 9,000 acres out there. And we go out, and these guys know I love to cook outdoor vittles, you know, and I usually bring a pre-smoke of a pork, you know, butt, and have a bunch of pulled pork out there. And, oh, we have a good time cooking, and Wysoon is just a whole lot of fun to hunt with Larry. As I have opportunity once or twice a year to get with Larry, and I get to visit with him every day on Catfish Radio, you know, the campfire talk with Larry Wysoon, and he's on this show quite a bit too. But what you see with Larry is what you get. He is a gentleman, first class, and just a whole lot of fun and a world of knowledge about white-tailed deer, obviously. I wanted to just kind of ramble on with you today because it is the opening of deer season. There's so much that we could all talk about deer hunting. And I have kind of shotgunned a little bit on our topic so far in our show, but, you know, I've been hunting deer in Texas now since I grew up in Dimple, north of Red River, northern Red River County. And I was born in 1950, so this will give you some idea of how I've watched the whitetail population in northeast Texas grow. When I first started, I never will forget, I was first exposed to deer hunting when I was 10 years old. My brother-in-law, Billy Wayne Joplin, I did an article on him in the newspapers here a couple of weeks ago. He turned 80. But Billy Wayne took me to a Crooks Deer Camp, which is up north, not far from Dimple, where I was raised, north of Clarksville on Highway 37. My dad built the old Dimple store back in the 40s and ran it and sold it to Mr. Killam, A.B. Killam, for years and years. I bet a lot of you listeners probably knew Mr. Killam up there. But anyway, we went to Crooks Deer Camp. This is back in 61, I guess, right about those years. I'd never seen a wild white-tailed deer, and probably never seen a deer at all, I don't imagine. But they had two bucks hanging on a meat pole there at Crooks Camp. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, I need to learn how to do this, how to hunt deer. I can imagine how much skill it took back in 1961 to put deer on the meat pole, because there was a season, but the deer numbers were way, you know, they were just getting reestablished in northeast Texas. But these old boys, they're probably World War II veterans looking back. This was in 1961, but there was a camp of probably five or six guys, had a big green army tent set up, had two of them actually. I remember driving back up, and we driving in my brother-in-law's 56 Crown Victoria Ford, black and white. I remember this vividly. But we pulled up to that camp, and these old boys were playing cards. It was middle of the day and cold. It was a cold November day in 1961, and Billy knew them, the men, most of them, I think. My brother-in-law did. And we went up and talked to these guys, and I asked them, I go look at the deer, and I think while they all talked and shot the bull, I was over there admiring those deer on that meat pole. So I didn't actually get – I started hunting when I was 11 up in Red River County for deer, but I didn't really kill one until I was 16, and it was a spike buck, and to me it was a monster. I mean, I finally connected with the white-tailed deer, you know. But since then, and especially when I got a little older and became an outdoor writer, I have had the opportunity to hunt deer from Canada to Mexico and lots of places in between. I just loved one thing I love to do is hog hunt, but I think hogs and deer are right there on the same level as far as fun. I actually outfit elk and bear hunts, and me and another guy in northern Colorado, and we do actually deer hunts up in northern Kansas too. We lease a couple of farms, but when it comes to just me hunting hogs and deer, they're right at the top of the list for me to hunt. They're just so challenging to hunt. And then too, venison, I mean, what can be better for you? Or I mean, the meat is part of a big part of the hunt for me. Love to chicken fried venison. I like to make it smothered with rice and gravy. That might be something that I might share with you. My very favorite way to eat venison. And I've done this. I've made it at home and took it to deer camp. I've made it at deer camp. You know, it's a real simple recipe, but is it ever tasty? I just start off with, I'll always tenderize my ham steaks or the backstrap steaks with a, got a little unit called a jacquard that you press. It's a little bunch of little spikes that pushes down into the meat and tenderizes it. You can use an aluminum meat hammer, you know, any way that you can tenderize it is good. But tenderize it and then season it really well. Make sure you got a blend of seasonings that you like. It can be anything from salt and pepper to whatever. And I'll put a little Louisiana hot sauce on the meat. That helps the flour adhere to it a little bit better. And dust it with flour, brown it, take it out of the skillet, drain most of the grease, the cooking oil, off. Put your steaks back in the skillet, chop an onion, and at that point, saute that onion in with it. And you can just stir it all around. It doesn't hurt if some of the breading or some of the, you know, crust comes off your steak. That's so much the better. It will come off some. But get that onion all over it and mix it in really, really well. And then take a big can of Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. Put that in there and then add a can of water with it. Bring it back up to temperature. Get it where it's barely bubbling, you know, just barely boiling, simmering, I guess. Stir it real well. Add some more black pepper to it, a little salt to taste, of course. Now, cut your fire real, real low, just barely low. You need a big cast iron skillet or a heavy skillet of some sort and with a good heavy lid. Put the lid on that and cut it down real low for about 40, 45 minutes. Occasionally, now, open it up, take your spatula and go down to the bottom and scrape everything, turn it. You don't want it to stick, and you do not want to cook it on high or it will, you know, it will scorch on you, but just real low. Now, you may have to add a little bit of water, and that's okay, too, because in a bit, you're going to have to add a bunch of water. So after about 30, 45 minutes, something like that, that meat will be very tender. Even the ham meat on a venison would be real tender. Now, at this point, take a cup and a half of water, pour that in there, stir that, let it come up to temperature, and then put a cup of rice in there with it. Now, depending on how much you're cooking, of course, you might want to put 2 cups of rice if you got a whole bunch of meat, but put some rice in there, and you do have to add water because that rice will absorb the moisture, you know. So put your lid back on there and cook it 20 more minutes, real low, and then just cut your fire off and let it set. Let that actually what happens, I think the rice absorbs the flavors from the meat and, you know, the seasonings that you've got in there. Let it set for a while, and if you're out on a camp out where you can use the Dutch kettle, make you some big old cathead biscuits to go with that. If you're at home, just, you know, if you can, biscuits go really, really well with that at any deer camp. But a good camp meal is that, and if you've got some canned green beans, or actually we can beans ourselves and at home, open that up, put a little butter in there, you've got a meal fit for a king. Folks, we're out of time. Do remember catfishradio.com, and next week, we're probably going to be talking some more deer hunting. I want to tell you some more tips on hogs also. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.